Thank you, James. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I love when there's a scripture reading where we can look at it from a bunch of different dimensions and see different aspects of Jesus' teaching. What an amazing teacher he was, and it's just so fulfilling to me to be able to spend time to prepare sermons. For me, it's just such a sacred time for me to just be able to explore all those options of meaning that come out of these passages. All of the scripture readings are consistent with this primary message that I want to convey to you this morning. But there are really three dimensions that I saw in this healing story. One is reminding us Jesus has the power to heal. Jesus is capable of miraculous healing. And the problem that I have with that is probably the same one you have. I can't figure out why sometimes God heals and sometimes God doesn't. And we're not the first. There have been thousands of years of people trying to figure that out. But we do know that Jesus does have that power. It's proven in Scripture over and over again. There, and so, in my life, I've decided I'm going to have a list of things that I'm going to talk to God when I get to see God face to face, clearly with humility when I face God. But still, there are things I'd like to know why. And that's one of them, why some people are healed and some are not. But this does remind us Jesus absolutely holds that power. Another point to this story, another dimension to it, is showing Jesus again arguing with religious leaders because they had this obsession with rules. They just could not let go of them. And there was a rule to do no work of any kind, even if it sort of looks like it might be kind of work, to not do it. And even to the point of saying he had the ability to heal someone who had been suffering from something for 18 years, but he shouldn't do it because it was on the Sabbath. And Jesus saw how really ludicrous that idea was, and he didn't hesitate to let them think that's exactly how he felt. And so I think there is a message in there about us realizing the role that rules do play. There are things more important in God's word. There are more things more important in Jesus' teaching than strictly following the rules. I remember there was a service about 10 years ago in my parish in San Jose, and one of the parishioners had her quite elderly dad who had diabetes attending or visiting her and attending church with her for a while. And at the 10 o'clock service, partway through it, he collapsed. And he was unconscious. And everybody's looking around like, but it's the middle of the service. They go, okay, so who are the nurses? And nurses came over and cared for him. We stopped everything. We called 911. The nurses elevated his feet and got cool towels for his head. And he regained consciousness, and he started chatting with people. And, you know, his blood sugar level had just gone crazy. But still, the emergency crews came, and they took him out on a stretcher, and then we're standing there in church looking around like, now what? And I said, okay, so let's discuss this. You know, in honor of what just happened, do you want to continue with this service, making sure it's including lots of prayers for Susan's dad, or not? So let's discuss it, decide what we want to do. And we decided we were going to continue, but in the spirit of really praying for him and remembering that that's what he'd want us to do, because he was a dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore Episcopalian, and it would be important to him. But we made sure that it wasn't just by the rule, oh, it's Sunday morning, we better do worship. It was about really having that flexibility. There's one other dimension to this story that doesn't have anything to do with the Sabbath that I really want to zero in on, and it's the healing, the way Jesus did this healing. The crippled woman did not come shouting Son of David, save me. She did not interrupt what he was doing. In fact, she sat quietly and didn't even ask to be healed. And I think when I read commentaries on this, there's really a sense that there was a mood in her, this is my life. I'm crippled. Much of society understands that if I'm crippled, that means that I've sinned and God is punishing me for my sin. And as a result, I'm excluded from community activities. I have family members who won't have anything to do with me, but that's my life. And so she just resigned herself to her disability. And what Jesus did was to make very clear that was not God's plan. And that regardless of a physical disability, God has the power to do something about that. And if there are other dimensions to disability, whether it's psychological or spiritual, all of those are within the realm of God's power. And so Jesus just said, "Woman, you are now set free from your ailment." And he laid hands on her, and she didn't just start standing straight. But she stood straight up and started praising God. And what I see in that was that Jesus didn't just heal an ailment, but he changed apathy into passion for God. He really woke her up that if we turn over what we perceive as a disability to God, that there's plenty of things God can do with it. And we can still fulfill God's purpose, because maybe God's purpose is bigger than whatever that disability is. I was reminded of my own history growing up, and I've shared with you in other sermons that my dad was a very strict father. But part of that was for him to make clear that there were words that I would say, or I can't really figure it out if it was tone of voice or words that I used, or that I really did something that bad, that I learned there were consequences to that. And the best thing for me to do is keep quiet. And so I learned to be a quiet child. I was told many times, children are to be seen and not
heard.
No kidding. It's universal, right?
Yeah.
And so, and the hard part is, I actually believed it. I believed it into my adulthood. I believed it well into my adulthood that was the best method, to be quiet. And so, as I was exposed to amateur radio, actually, Boy Scouts led me to Radio Merit Badge, which led me to amateur radio, which led me to electrical engineering. And I decided this is a great profession because I can just sit in a cubicle and I can write schematic diagrams and be quiet and not get in trouble. Well, God had another plan. So what happened was that I became an engineer, then became an applications engineer. So I was working with customers. Then I became a regional packaging manager. So I'd travel around the Western U.S. giving technical talks. Then I ended up becoming a regional manager. And I was traveling around the U.S. and South America and a little bit into Europe, carrying a 35-millimeter projector and a carousel of 35-millimeter slides, going around giving technical seminars, traveling by myself, giving these presentations to maybe 300 people at a time about, you know, the technology behind what my company was doing. Well, I now know it took me 30 years to get through that, all that, to figure out, you know what, God was actually training me to be here for you. And so here, all this time, I thought there was a disability in me that I had the wrong words or the wrong tone of voice, and it's better to just be seen and not heard. It took me a long time to work through that, to see that God actually has other gifts that he wants to give me that I need to exercise. It's my responsibility as a believer in God, as a follower in Jesus, not just a believer in Jesus, but a follower in Jesus, to step out and give the glory to God and to reflect that glory into the world. So I encourage you to look at the course of your life and see if you can recognize the work that God has been doing to equip you. And sometimes it's an instantaneous thing, like that crippled woman who just had a, in that case, a physical touch, but maybe it's something else in your spiritual journey that's touched you, that in that instant, the light lit. Or maybe it's like me, who's a slow learner, and it takes 30 years, or it takes some period of time to finally look back and say, oh yeah, look at these skills that I've learned. Look at these abilities that I've discovered that I never realized I had. Look at these life experiences that just God incident-wise, not coincidence, God incidents-wise lined up to develop in me the ability to do things I never would have imagined that I could do. I think that's what these lessons are about. They're about us recognizing the importance of certainly setting time aside, which is part of what Sunday morning is, as Sabbath time, to say, I'm going to put the other stuff aside. It stays outside the doors for a while so I can come in here and really reflect on how has God directed my life so that I can reflect God's glory to the world. So think about the experiences life has given you and take all of those resources, claim them, that God is the source of those resources. Be ready to stand up straight. Decide to live out God's purpose that God has created you for. Choose to live a life of grace and give the glory to God. Amen.